Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the most important things you'll ever learn in mission work is that God has sent us. If He was only interested in us being saved and going to heaven, after we trusted Christ, we would have been taken right then. But He's left us. But He's left us here on earth for purpose, because we need to share with others. This is Bert Harper along with Nathan Harper for Exploring Missions. We're thankful you could join us this weekend. Maybe it's on the podcast, however you're listening. We are thankful you're listening, and we're praying that this program would encourage you, would challenge you, and help you to be on mission for God. We are His witnesses, and we want to be the very best witness that we can. Nathan, when we talk about being a witness for Christ, that Greek word was martyr, and it's become paying a price. But here in America, the freedom is amazing, but we do have brothers and sisters around the world that right now they're imprisoned. Their difficulty is amazing. Some have lost their lives because they're followers of Christ. But we all should be a witness for the Lord Jesus, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that's right. We are witnesses. It's just a matter of the quality or the faithfulness in our witness. We have been called His witnesses. And not only, like you mentioned earlier, that we have been left here with a purpose, He's also launched us out with a purpose. Another way of saying that is to be sent. In other words, we are sent out on a mission with the purpose to live in a way that we realize we are sent ones and we have a sender. Our God is a sending God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is what it means to live sent out on mission. And when we talk about what it means to be sent, well, sure, it means that we go where we are sent. That's kind of where our minds, you know, first go. Where am I sent to, right? That's kind of the question. But before that, it really means that we answer to the sender. Like, that's who we look to. That's who we go to. That's where we start, is the one who is sending us. And so then we must go how He is sending us. Yeah, we're going to go where He sends us, but we want to also go how, in the manner, in the way that He's sending us out, to carry out the will of the one who's sending us. So what that means then for me and you is that we're going to live with intention, like being intentional about how we live under the authority of Jesus, because He's the one that's sending us, right? So we're representing Him or representing Him to the world like an envoy of His kingdom. And so there's a framework that we want to approach our lives with when we talk about living sent. But today we're going to look in pretty heavily in the Gospel of John, because John, more than the other gospel writers, talks about this idea of being sent. I like calling it a sentness. There's a sentness to our lives.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your initial thoughts on that?
I could not help but think, I know this is John, but I thought about Paul. I am an ambassador for Christ.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
That means we're representing someone. It's not just us, and we have authority. The ambassador has authority. The ambassador has the message that has been given to him to share with those that he's been sent to. So being sent, and I like your new coined word, sentness. We need to have that. Man, that puts some iron in our spiritual blood to know that the God of the universe has us on mission for Him, and we've been sent. And again, let's use this word, with purpose. So that is the whole idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does something to me. I hear it, that it does something for you. And I'm sure everybody listening, if we grasp this idea that our lives are not haphazard, they're not random. Every moment has purpose and intention and eternal meaning behind it. And so God is, well, he's moving us to be where he wants us to be, but also he's growing us to go how we are supposed to go. And so the framework, there's a framework, it's three parts that I think will help us as we have this discussion, but also live our lives on mission with intention of being sent. So the first part of this framework is that God is the sender. God is a sending God. Mission does not originate with the church. It wasn't the apostles' idea. They heard the idea from Jesus. And you could read about the idea right from the beginning of the Old Testament, all the way from Genesis 1. And we see that God is a sending God. He initiates, he starts this plan. So mission does not originate with the church. It originates with God. And just as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus then sends us. He sends his followers into the world to show and to share his love. So another way of saying that is God is a missionary.
Wow.
So that's the first part of the framework, that God is a sender.
When I hear that, being in John, you can't help but think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And another word would be sent. He sent his son.
Yeah.
It was purposeful, wasn't it?
It was. So God is the sender. The second part of this mission framework is that our lives are to be spent or lived on mission. So we're living a life on mission. So being missional means adopting the perspective of a missionary. In other words, see ourselves every day, whether we're going to work, going to school, staying at home, mowing the grass, going on a trip. I mean, fill in the blank, the mundane, ordinary, average things that we do. We are a missionary in those tasks. It involves intentionally building relationships with unbelievers around us, serving where we are. Where we are sent, we are to serve. We're serving our neighborhoods at the minimum. We're purposefully sharing the story of Christ as we're giving opportunity. We're sharing that story, the good news of Jesus, in every sphere of society where God has planted us. So life is to be lived on mission.
And
yeah.
Let me make this comment. I think when I hear that, I can't help but think of that scripture. They'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So whatever you are doing, your job or playing ball or whatever, you to do your best to represent and do it in a godly way. So a life on mission, and it is hit strongly that we're to live that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, the third one is that we are in but not of the world. Okay, so we're in the world system, but we're not a part of the world system. We stand out. We stick out. We don't fit in to the system, the sinful system, the selfish patterns of idolatry that are just all around us in the culture, in the world, in society. We're in it. We can't escape it. And we're to be in it purposefully. But we're not all about it. We're not of the world. So believers are challenged to live within their local culture without adopting its sinful patterns. So in other words, we're acting as a countercultural force that points others to the grace and redemption of Jesus.
Nathan, when I hear that, I can't help but think about the cities the missionary journeys took Paul, Barnabas, and Silas to. I mean, Ephesus, what a sinful city. Corinth, a sinful city. Right there in the middle, that you use the word countercultural, the church was birthed in Jerusalem. But again, as it grew in these areas where the culture was completely immoral, and yet it grew and was strong and people were drawn to it. So that means we don't have an excuse no matter how bad our culture gets, is it?
Yeah, that's right. We're not to run away and escape it. We are to root ourselves where God has planted us, but bloom, right? And we'll be a different kind of planting for the Lord. Our blooms, if you will, our petals will show differently and brightly. And yeah, there's an attractive aspect to that. So let's start down this track of looking at this idea of being sent, and not just the idea, but even the word send, or to send, or sending, and all the derivatives and forms of that word. It's a verb, right? So there's different forms in the Greek New Testament that we're going to look at. And so hopefully this will not be too boring. We'll try to push through this, but some of you Bible nerds out there, this might be the exciting part for you. So there's three Greek words in the Gospels that are used: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to focus in on John, but in all the Gospels, you see these three Greek words used. There are three different Greek words. We translate them commonly in English as to send or sending or sent. Okay, so the first Greek word is pempo. We would spell it P-E-M-P-O, pempo. And it just is the general term for send, to send in general. So like if I use that in a sentence, I might say, my wife sent me to the store. Okay. So in other words, and that happens quite often in my household.
Well, you grew up watching it with your dad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to be given a list. If the list is three or more items long, I have to write it down, or what she'll normally do is text it to me.
As you get older, Nathan, too, will be all you can do is go ahead.
Yeah. Well, this is an aside, but have you heard the 5-minute rule for husbands shopping for their wives? Have you heard this rule?
No, go ahead. Everybody, this is a public service announcement. Go ahead.
Yeah. So let's say your wife sends you to the store and, well, let's say she gives you a list and says, bring back some milk. That's on your list, milk, right? So you go to get the milk, and then you see, you open up the freezer door, the refrigerator door in the grocery store, and you see, well, there's vitamin D, regular milk, whole milk. Then you've got 2% milk. Then there's 1% milk. And then there's skim milk, which what's less than 1%? I don't know. But, you know, it's like water that's colored white, maybe. I don't know. But, and then you have all the different kinds of milk, right? So the husband says, I don't want to get this wrong. If I bring back the wrong milk, I'll be in trouble. So let me text my wife. And so the husband says, which kind of milk do we need? And if he has to wait more than 5 minutes for a response, then he's off the hook. He gets to choose whatever milk he wants. And when he brings it home, he's not in trouble. It's on the wife at that point. So that's the 5-minute rule.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right. So going back to this idea of being sent. So pempo, my wife sent me to the store. The emphasis is on the relationship between the two parties. In other words, my wife sent me. Okay. That's the point, is she sent me to the store. And most of these uses of pempo are actually in the Gospel of John. So we're going to look at quite a few of them. But its significant use is the idea of being sent in reference to Jesus. In other words, Jesus says over and over in the Gospel of John that he was sent by the Father. So that's the emphasis, is that relationship between God the Father sending Jesus the Son. And then later Jesus talks about sending the Holy Spirit. And then even later than that, he talks about sending his followers into the world. So that's one Greek word, pempo. The second Greek word that you see in the New Testament in the Gospels is apostello. Now, that might sound familiar, right? What word do we kind of coin off of that Greek word, apostello?
I believe it might be apostle. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Sent out ones. And it's a little bit more specific in its meaning. In other words, it's to send with a specific mission, with a specific task. So a way I might use that in a sentence is, I was sent to the store to buy some milk. And so the emphasis is that delegated authority. I have been given the authority to go buy milk. And so I'm going to exchange the money for the milk, and that's my task. Most uses of apostello are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, although you can see it in John as well. The idea that where its most significant use, possibly, or one of its most significant uses, is in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Let me read that real quickly. It says, "Then Jesus appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach." So it's funny, that word is there twice in that verse. He appointed them and called them his apostles, his apostello or apostelai, the plural form, the sent out ones. And what did he do with the sent out ones? He sent them out, and he sent them out to preach. So that's that second word, Greek word, apostello. And then the third Greek word that you see sometimes translated as sent, most of the time it's translated as to cast out or cast down. And that's what the word is, ekbalo, and it means to forcefully throw or to cast. And so the emphasis is the aggression, the passion, and the decisive nature of the sending. Now, most of the time you see ekbalo used in the Gospels, it is in reference to casting out of demons. So when Jesus would cast out a demon, he would ekbalo the demons. He would cast them out or send them out of the person, right? But you actually see this word translated as sent or sending. One verse is Luke 10:2, and we're familiar with that on this program because I read from it quite a bit, but this is Luke 10:2. It says, "Jesus gave instructions to his disciples, 'The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send ekbalo more workers into his fields.'" In other words, he's going to cast them out. He's going to throw them forcefully out into the harvest field. Basically, Jesus is saying, "Now get on out of here, boys," because he's sending them out.
Nathan, let me make this real quick. When the church at Jerusalem, they got comfortable staying there in familiar territory. But then the persecution would come, and they were forcefully sent away. And one way, God was sending them out of their comfort zone into the world to make disciples. So it's worked in the past, hasn't it?
That's right. And that's still happening even today. I know we're thinking a lot about the country of Iran, but that's where persecution is very strong, and so is the move of the gospel.
Yes.
And it feels like a scattering. It talks about that word scattering or diaspora in the New Testament. It feels like being scattered, but there's a divine purpose behind the scattering to where it's actually being sent. The workers are being sent into the harvest field. And so I don't want to get bogged down here, but let's look at some of the uses of this idea of being sent in the Gospel of John. And the most important thing to note is that how often John uses this word and this thought of being sent. About 50 times in the book of John that you'll see this word sent. So it's a big theme. It's a big important aspect and idea in his gospel. Most of the uses refer to and relate to Jesus's authority. Let me give you a couple of verses, two or three verses here that say this. John 5:36. "I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me." So Jesus was saying that my works show that God the Father has sent me here to do these works. Do you have another verse there that you want to read?
John 8:16. "But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." Here it is again, the Father. That's what Jesus would say in the garden. "I came to do the will of my Father. He has sent me for this, and I am going to do it."
And then John 14:24 is another example. "Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So in all three of these verses, and there's many, many more, but these three that we picked show that the works, like the miraculous works and signs and wonders that Jesus was doing, He was sent by God to do those. The decisions that Jesus made as the righteous judge, he was sent by God the Father to make those decisions. And then the teaching and the word that Jesus gave, he was sent by God the Father to give and teach those words. Even the words were sent by God. So most of the times you see the word send in John, you want to make sure you're recognizing that it's probably referring to that relationship that Jesus has with his Father, and the Father has sent the Son with that authority and as the representative of who God is. In some senses, that's what the idea of a Messiah is, yeah. Is one who comes in the name of the Lord. So you also, let me read a couple more, one or two more about Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. So just right after the one about Jesus saying, hey, these words, these teachings of mine came from the Father who sent me. Then in two verses later, he says this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So in other words, the Father is also going to send, in the name of Jesus, he's going to send the advocate or the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So he does not leave us as orphans, does he?
That's right. So when Jesus leaves us, when God leaves us, he's not really leaving us alone. He's launching us with power from the Holy Spirit. You have another verse there about the Holy Spirit that you want to read?
Yes, John 16:7. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Again, John 16:7. How awesome is that? It is for your good. Just like you said, the dispersion, when they were scattered, it was difficult and hard, but it was ultimately for their good. Here, Jesus going to the Father and him sitting at the right hand of the Father and then sending the Holy Spirit was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Even he would say, it's actually better that I leave you so the Holy Spirit will come, because the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in us and not just be next to us, but within us, giving us that power. We're not going to really nerd out on the rest, but if you want to, let me just give you these kind of places to start. Read John chapter 5, especially the last half of that chapter, John chapter 5, and notice all the uses of the word send or sending or to send. It's really a lot of back and forth usage of these two Greek words, pimpo and apostello. And so they just kind of go back and forth. So check out John chapter 5. And you also want to check out John 17, which that's where we find what's called, what, Jesus' high priestly prayer.
Right.
And he's praying for his followers, but also he's praying for us, his future followers. There's six or seven uses of the word send in John 17, and they all are apostello. Okay, so really neat there. And let me read one of those. This is John 17:18. And actually, you see it twice in this verse. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So Jesus is already praying for the mission that his followers will take on of being sent out into the world. Just as Jesus himself was sent to the world by his Father, he's going to be sending his followers into the world. Now, let's try to make it practical here, but before we do, one quick look at a couple of verses. Could you look up and read John 1:6? That's the first use of the word send in the Gospel of John. The first time we see this word is John 1:6.
Okay. There was a man sent from God whose name was John.
All right. Plain and simple. So we're talking about John the Baptist here, not the author of the book, but John the Baptist was sent by God. Now, a good meditation, a good thing to do from time to time, I like to do this from time to time and just help me remember that I am sent, is put my name in John's place. Wow. There is a man sent by God whose name was Nathan. Or you can put your own name. There was a man, there was a woman sent by God, and their name is, and you put your name there.
Amen. He was the forerunner of Christ, but we are the witness of Christ. We got about 3 minutes left, so what's the practical side of this, Nathan?
Well, I want to get to the last verse, the last use of the word send in the Gospel of John. John 20, 21, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you."
Wow.
Jesus was sent by the Father with a specific purpose and authority. And so now Jesus is sending his followers, and that includes me and you, hopefully, with a focus on their relationship to him. In other words, our purpose is derived from his authority as the sender. So Jesus is sending us. Let me give us five quick practical ideas how we can live sent. Just every day as a missionary, turning our daily routines into intentional ministry opportunities. So we're not talking about adding more tasks to our schedule, just changing how we engage the things we're already doing, living sent. Number one, open your table. Invite a coworker, a neighbor, or an acquaintance over for a casual meal or coffee once a month. Number two, become a regular. Visit the exact same coffee shop or grocery lane or gym or diner at the same days and times. So become a regular. Number three, eat with intention. A lot of these have to do with food, by the way. Have you noticed? eat with intention. Sit with different people during your lunch breaks instead of eating alone or sticking strictly to close friends. So if you're at school or even work, when you take a break, sit down with somebody different each day. Eat with intention. Number four, map your neighborhood. So walk through your streets with the sole purpose of praying for the homes and families you pass. Do a prayer walk in your neighborhood. Number five, offer direct prayer. If a non-believer shares a struggle with you, ask them, "Can I pray for you right now about that?" You might be surprised how willing even people that are not Christians would be willing to pray with you. So can I pray for you right now about that and be willing to do that? So that's what we want to do. We want to live sent with purpose and intention as we go through our day-to-day lives.
Nathan, thank you for sharing that with us. And we hope that it has helped you to know that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are sent into the world to make disciples. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions, and may God bless you as you continue to stay on mission for Him.